Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Welcome to the Sports Passion Podcast. Your host, Lars Marendorf.
Hello and welcome to the Sports Passion Podcast. The Florida Panthers have been for a couple of years one of the most talented teams, but they lacked something. And that something might be Joe Thornton, that something might be a new goaltender, or it might be just the home ice in Florida. Well, a lot of questions there and a lot of topics, and there's a guy who knows the Florida Panthers in depth, and that is George Richards. He's now working with FloridaHockeyNow.com, and I was glad to have him on my show and to talk to him about the Florida Panthers. Enjoy the interview. So the best team in the NHL are the Florida Panthers, and I'm very fortunate to have once again on one of my shows George Richards, who is covering the Florida Panthers. George, thanks for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me. What's going on?
And George, you're covering the Panthers for FloridaHockeyNow.com. So could you just give us an overview of how you are covering the team and how the homepage and what is all linked to that is covering the Panthers in general?
Yeah, FloridaHockeyNow.com is basically a Florida Panthers digital news site. I've covered the Panthers for, you know, gosh, almost 20 years now for, you know, either the Miami Herald or the Athletic. So I'm basically, you know, covering the team like I have in the past. Just, you know, writing 2-3 stories a day about the Panthers and, you know, trying to cover the team the best I can.
And you're traveling with the team right now? Are you following them on road trips, or is it just in Florida?
I've been to Tampa. I'm going to Arizona and Colorado with, when the team goes there, but they really haven't had many road trips. Yeah. They went to New York for a couple of days, and then they went to Pittsburgh. So, you know, I really haven't had to, you know, travel with the team. But as the season rolls on, I think we're gonna do more. So,
okay. So the Panthers, they lost last year in the first round against the Lightning, but they were not very active on the trade front and on the signing front. They made some deals. They brought in Sam Reinhart. They brought in Joe Thornton there. They lost Chris Driedger to the Seattle expansion there. But they also got Aaron Ekblad returning from his injury. And so going into the season, what do you think were the areas that the Panthers wanted to improve in regards to last year to be able to sort of take the next step and go from there?
Well, when you say the Panthers weren't active at free agency and at the trade, the reason was they were very happy with the team they had, and they wanted to keep the players that they had. They signed, you know, Anthony Duclair to a 3-year deal. They signed Sam Bennett, who they got at the trade deadline. Yeah. You know, they extended a lot of players, you know, so they decided they wanted to keep the team together as much as they could. They did get Sam Reinhart in a deal. That was a pretty big deal for the Panthers. And then they added some depth pieces, you know, on free agency day. So, they lost to the Lightning last year, but that was an exciting series, you know, a very exciting series for the Panthers. Disappointing that they, you know, that they didn't do, you know, didn't beat them, but they certainly put a scare into the Stanley Cup champions, and they felt like this team is on the right path, and that they are close. And so far at the start of the season, it looks like they are exactly right.
Yeah, they started great, winning their first games there. They were the best team, unbeaten there. And then the report of the Chicago Blackhawks sexual abuse scandal comes out, and all the next step follow. Joel Quenneville flies to New York, and then he resigns as a head coach. And now they got Andrew Brunette in there as the interim coach. Is there any time frame regarding a head coach? Are they waiting for the results right now with Andrew Brunette, or is there a plan to implement someone more established than him in the head coaching position?
Yeah, that's a good thought. We don't know. And okay. I think if the Panthers were going to make a change, they would have made it almost immediately, right? I mean, because there are plenty of experienced coaches who aren't coaching right now. And if the Panthers thought immediately was we're going to get an experienced coach, I think they could have already done so. And I think they want to see how Andrew Brunette handles things. He he was an assistant here. Joel Quenneville, that was his first hire back in 2019. So he knows the systems that the team is currently running. He knows the players. And, you know, he's a guy that's well-respected not only within the room among the players, but in the front office as well. So unless the wheels completely fall off of this thing, which, you know, this team looks too good for that to happen, I would think it's his job for, you know, the time being. And who knows how long. I mean, maybe this is a full-time gig. I really don't know. But to your point, there were plenty of experienced coaches out there that they could have already had.
Yeah, and you guys, I think you guys had an article on your homepage as well listing some of those candidates that were out there.
Sure.
I think it's pretty understandable to say, okay, Brunette was part of what we did last year, and you mentioned the guys they brought in at the trade deadline, and also he was part of what we did in the summer preparing the team, so maybe it's good to just stay with him and see if he can just continue to do what Joel Quenneville did in there. One big question mark I had in my season preview for the Florida Panthers was the goaltending position and in regards to Sergei Bobrovsky, because he came to Florida a couple years ago. He got the big contract there. He was the big signing. And then, for me at least, he was a big disappointment the last 2 years. And a lot of people thought about, okay, Spencer Knight might take over now. He might be the goalie not only of the future but of the present. And what happened is Bobrovsky has great numbers, 94% save percentage, 1.78 is his goal against average. He plays great. Do you see anything, and do you know anything that he has changed in preparation to this season, maybe in regards to, I don't know, conditioning, stuff he does different? Is there anything he has changed, or is it just he settled in?
You know what? He doesn't like to talk about his routine. I mean, we ask him all the time. The one thing we do know is nobody works any harder than Sergei Bobrovsky. He is an absolute machine when it comes to working out and keeping fit and all that kind of thing. But you can see a difference in his game. He looks a lot more controlled. He looks a lot bigger in the net. He's coming out of the net a little bit and challenging skaters, where at least in the last two seasons with the Florida, we couldn't understand why he would get in the net and kind of shrink. And it looked like something that was just a habit that he got into that he couldn't get out of. And, you know, opposing teams definitely watched film of that and took advantage. He looks like a different goalie. He looks like the Bob of old, at least numbers-wise. But he definitely looks calm, cool, and collected back in the net. Florida's defense looks a lot more confident playing in front of him. And, yeah, you know, everybody had that thought you did, that you know, that Bob was the question mark in goal. And when, not if, but when would Spencer Knight take over in net? It's still an if, because we don't know when that day is going to come. It will come. We just don't know if it's 3 months from now or 3 years from now. So right now, Sergei Bobrovsky was challenged by Spencer Knight being here. And by his play, by his action on the ice, he's shown that he did not want to give up his job, because he is been in control ever since he's been in there.
And you mentioned that the team management was very happy with the players they had. Obviously, there are a lot of guys that get mentioned a lot when it comes to very talented player, but they maybe need to take the next step, maybe need to get some experience, like a Barkov, like a Huberdeau. A lot of great players there. And the Panthers brought in Joe Thornton, who's he's injured right now. I don't know if he'll play today. I think he's listed as day-to-day, so he might come back. But was he one of the guys, and one of the reasons they brought him in was that they wanted to have experience and they wanted to have someone who's been there. He's not won a cup yet still, but he's someone who's been very successful in the league for a long, long time. Was that a reason that they brought him in as well?
Well, I think him wanting to come here is the reason he's here. Just Joe Thornton signing with the Florida Panthers, everybody knows the guy's trying to chase the Stanley Cup. And the fact that he decided that Florida is the place that, that he could win a Stanley Cup at, I think really legitimized what the Panthers are doing. I think it put them in a different light as far as national recognition, because people are like, oh, geez, well, if Joe Thornton thinks the Panthers are good, they must be pretty good. So bringing in a guy like that, yeah, he's 42 years old. He's the longest tenured player in the league, active player, the active scoring leader. And just an all-around great guy. So his leadership, when you talk about Joel Quenneville resigning, being fired, whatever it was, I am sure that Joe Thornton being in that locker room was a very calming effect. He's been through everything you could do other than winning the whole thing, and I'm sure that that leadership really came in handy, having him there when all that went down.
And last year, one thing that also kept them maybe from being a higher seed and maybe from not playing the Lightning in the first round was an injury to Aaron Ekblad. And now they got a big injury again, as worse as the injury Ekblad had, as far as I know. The captain is out. Alexander Barkov is out right now. Do you think that there's never a perfect timing for an injury, but do you think that if he's out now for a couple of weeks, that is not something that might damage their standing there and also the long-term outlook in the season? Or is it something where they will look around the trade market, as they did with Ekblad, to bring in maybe someone else? I know they are up to the cap, so there's not a lot of wiggle room there, but yeah. Are they already looking out for something else, or are they just waiting what happens with Barkov?
Well, they say it's a, you know, it doesn't need surgery. We assume it's his left knee, because that's where he took the impact. So no, I don't think they're looking for any trades. This team's in first place.
Yeah.
They've gotten off to a fantastic start. This is an 82 game season and we're only in number 17. So you talk about, there is no perfect time for a guy to get injured, but if it was to happen, yeah, this is fine. If it takes 2 weeks, if it takes a month, this team can survive that. You want Sasha Barkov back here, you know, for the second half of the season, for the push, you know, in the playoffs. You really don't need him in November. So I think they're okay. They're not looking for any trade. Like you said, they're up against the salary cap. Maybe there's a guy down in the minor leagues that they could bring in, something to that effect. You know, if another person gets hurt, we'll have to see how that goes. But for right now, I think they're just going to fill in. They're very deep at center. I wrote a story about that today at Florida Hockey Now. This is the deepest center pool the Florida Panthers have ever had in their franchise history. They have legitimate number one centers up and down that lineup. And Sam Reinhart, he played center last year at Buffalo. That's his natural position. Florida's so deep, they're not using him at center. They're still using him on the wing. So yeah. Florida's set at center, so they're okay. And they're just going to wait this out.
Yeah, and one thing that sticks out, they have a great record, first team in the NHL, but all of their losses have been away from Florida. And I've been there, I've been in the arena, and I've been in the area, and I think the last time you were on the show, I also talked about how is the support in the area, in Fort Lauderdale, the bigger Miami area there. Is there a bigger buzz about the team right now, and does that lead to that home ice success? Because it sticks out right now, all of the losses are away from home, and all of the wins at home, I don't see one. I think the first one was in overtime, but all of the other ones were in regulation. So they are a pretty good home team. Has that to do with the fans as well?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Is there
really
a bus?
Changed.
Is there a bus?
maybe it's because the team stay on the beach. I don't know. Maybe they're sunburned or drunk. One of the two. No, I don't know. They have been terrific at home though, and that dates back to last year. Last year, of course, last year because of the pandemic, Florida was one of the few buildings that had any fans at all. They allowed like 5,000 all year long, so they at least had some fans in the building last year. But it is weird because, you know, it's the same arena. It's the same group of fans. They're expecting a pretty good crowd Thursday night against the New Jersey Devils. Saturday night against Minnesota should have a good crowd. So it's a lively crowd. It's a spirited crowd. The Florida Panthers have a diehard group of fans. And I think the bigger crowds are coming. It's tough to market hockey in a place like Florida in October and November when people know that the games really don't mean a whole lot, right? Because the games do mean more in March and in April when the standings start to count. And I think that it is a tough sell. But, you know, as we get into the holiday season, American Thanksgiving and the like, and more tourists are down here to escape the winter weather, you'll see the crowds go up. But yeah, they've been terrific at home, undefeated at home. And to your point, the only team that's come out of this place with it 1 point is the Pittsburgh Penguins, and that was in the opener when they forced overtime. So Florida's done a good job of handling their business at home.
And when you look at the stats they have, the only thing that doesn't look great right now is, to me, the special teams. Both of them are around 14th, 15th in the league. Is there anything that they want to do there? Is it just, I mean, sometimes it's just bad luck. For example, in the power play, you hit the post, you have a lot of high scoring chances, a goalie is hot against your power play. There's a lot of going into that, but is there some deeper, or are there some deeper issues on the special teams, or is it just going to be, they will be up more to the top 10 in both categories soon?
I think they'll end up top 10. I think there's too much firepower on the power play for them to struggle. I think it's a new, you know, a lot of new faces on that power play. Keith Yandel, who ran it the last couple years, got bought out, and he's in Philadelphia. So they're trying to figure out some things. But I think there's no cause for concern. It'll come. I think it's actually looked worse than the numbers. I think, you know, so I was surprised that the numbers were as high as they were on the penalty on the power play, and I was surprised they were as low as they were on the penalty kill, because I think the penalty kill has been terrific. So they've had a couple bad games on the penalty kill, which has juiced the numbers up or down in this case. But I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a bad thing to be good at 5-on-5. Because once the playoffs arrive, there might be less penalties, I've heard, in the NHL.
Absolutely.
So it's great to be good at 5-on-5.
Absolutely.
George Richards, you can read his work at floridahockeynow.com. At George Richards is the Twitter handle. Do you guys have a podcast as well? I just want to ask if so I can share that.
I haven't gotten it fired back up, but we do have a video channel on YouTube,
okay.
Florida Hockey Now on YouTube. Yeah,
okay.
So I do like more video podcasts, video casts, if you will, whatever.
Okay, great. So, George, thanks a lot for your time. It's fun talking to you.
Thank you.
Think it's great that the Florida Panthers are successful. There are a lot of players you can like there. I think the Bobrovsky story is great to have him back there, and I would like to have Brunette there as the coach remaining there, because I think it's always great to have a guy from the second line get a chance there. So
Hopefully
they can continue to play that way and they don't get any big injuries along the season. And maybe, I mean, what kind of story would it be if Joe Thornton ends up winning a cup in Florida? That would be something very hockey-like, crazy-like there. So
it really would be. All those years in Boston, San Jose, last year Toronto, and he wins it in Sunrise, Florida. Who would have think? Yeah, who would have thought? Yeah.
George, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Good talking to you.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Ich habe mich natürlich schockverliebt, weil die war wirklich ganz, ganz klein.
So begann die Mensch-Hund-Beziehung zwischen Christina und Tierschutzhund Frieda. Und wie es danach, nach dem ersten Moment der Verliebtheit, so weiterging und welche Klippen es danach zu umschiffen galt, das hört ihr in der neuen Ausgabe von Iswas Dog. Dem Podcast für harmonische Mensch-Hund-Beziehungen.
Iswas Dog mit Malte Asmus.
Überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.